If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
James says our tongues are set on fire by fires of hell. That's why it's so easy to go from praise to gossip, from worship to witchcraft with the tongue. So Paul's going on now. You must work at this. Strife, just keeping people at odds. You must work at strife. You're just unhappy that people are getting along. Just have to cause strife. Then he says, sedition. Seditions is clandestine behavior. It's when you go behind the scenes to do things that end in death for someone. We call them traitors. There used to be a sedition. Well, there still is a sedition act in America that says if you do anything to help our enemies that weakens us, you're guilty of sedition. And in America, I don't know if it is anymore, but I know it used to be a sentence, if convicted, punishable by up to and including death. Because they realize that if you are seditious, we got to kill you. And so what do? You work at sedition. Then he says, heresies. That's just slander. You get one bit of information. 90% of you don't know my sister. But I could be walking down the street with my sister, and I put my arm around my sister and say, oh, come on, Jack, cheer up. It's going to be all right. And so, oh, Bishop Lambert got his hand around a woman. And that's not Sister Lambert. Oh, my God, that's terrible. Oh, and then you run back. Did you know Bishop Lambert had his hand around somebody's shoulder? What? I knew all that holiness preaching. I knew it. I knew he was covering up something. Slander. What do? You work at slander. You got to get on the phone and call other weak-minded people who are looking for something about me. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm not perfect. You don't have to look far. I got dirty clothes in my closet just like you, but they're all covered by the plastic of grace. And I send mine to the cleaners every day. God don't have to wait a month to get my dirty clothes. I give them to him every day. Here you go, Lord. I was angry yesterday. I even had some wrath. I threw a chair through the window. Somebody walked in front of my car too slow, and I killed them and hid the body. They shouldn't have walked slow. You should have sped them up. Hallelujah. Envy, murder, drunkenness. He uses the word reveling. Reveling is a word that means parties without restraint. In Paul's day, there were two orgies. There was the Roman orgy and the Greek orgy. Now, the Roman orgy was just a party that they had just to have a party. There was no reason to it. There was no legitimacy. They just were party animals. But the Greek orgy was slightly more distinct. The Greeks would have their orgy at the end of the day to relieve the pressure of work, because it's hard work to create all that philosophy. It's hard work to come up with all those plays and all those dramatic presentations where you strive for the cathartic moment of the releasing of emotions that have been pent up all day. In fact, prostitution was so normal in a city like Ephesus that the wives would go out and get prostitutes for their husbands. And the prostitutes would wear the sandals with the straps all the way up to their knee. And on the sole of the sandal was a letter that would be burned into the leather to let the people know that she was for sale. Why was it on her sandal? Because she made her living on her back, and her feet were always up. And so the wives would go out, honey, look, I've been taking care of your children all day. I've been washing and cleaning. I ain't got no time for that. Between my back and your attitude, it ain't gonna be no hanky-panky. Let me go over here and get Lenobia, whatever the Greek name was, and bring her in. Give her a couple of drachma and bring her in. And he was happy. It's a cultural thing. But Paul says that's a work of the flesh. Why? Because if it's a work, you have to. And Jesus called us to rest. You getting my drift? Watch this. He goes on now and he says, reveling, and you're past all that reveling. He says, and such like. And which I told you before, I'm telling you now, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he comes with the word but. Now, this but is not a normal conjunction. Remember, we saw two words in Greek for but, Allah and day. And day is the normal conjunction. But Allah is the one that's distinct to turn into another direction, to go in a physiological different place. And I mean physical, physically. You go into a different place because the results affect you realistically. You see, you're not just going idealistically, but you're going physically. So when you make that physical turn, something happens. The wages of sin is death. Allah, the gift of God, is eternal life. There's a physiological difference when you accept the gift of God. So now he's saying the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, manifest. And he tells you what they are. He says, but Allah, he changes the word. He goes from work. Why is fruit distinctive? The tree doesn't work to produce fruit. It doesn't work. Watch this. It is not incumbent upon the tree to produce the fruit. It's going to produce the fruit that it's created to produce. But its fruit bearing is directly related to its environment. It bears fruit because it's watered, the ground is proper, and it receives photosynthesis from the sun. With those ingredients in place, fruit comes. The tree doesn't work to produce apples. It simply produces apples if all of the other components. You have to work to sin. Once you become saved, when you sin, you work at it. Why? Because it's not in you anymore. It is around you. You hear what I'm saying? If any is in Christ, he is a new creature. So it's not in me to sin. It's around me to sin. So that's why I must consent to the work. But now, how do I know the Holy Spirit's in me? Tongues? No. Are tongues valid? Yes. Within scriptural guidelines. If there's going to be two or three people, Paul says, that get up and speak in tongues, he says, let them do it one at a time. The King James says, by chorus. Let them do it one at a time, and then there must be interpretation. So we all know what God is saying. Don't just go off in tongues because you feel like it. Child of God, let me tell you. And you sit there going, yeah. What? What'd they say? They might have just said your whole family's going to die on the school kill tomorrow. No, it's not. Tongues are not meant to entertain nor amuse. They're personal edification. When they're done in a public setting. Now, I know sometimes the Spirit gets on us and we go into that worship mode that may include the tongue, and it kind of slips out. It happens to me periodically, but I'm not talking about that where it just slips out. I'm talking about an intentional, lengthy process of tongue talking where you start out, and all of you sitting in this section right here, and all of you that we're going to get up in about 5 minutes, and I want you to grab your Bible. What are you doing? That doesn't prove the Holy Spirit is there. So how do I know? How can I remove this self-imposed stigma? I don't speak in tongues. Child, you mean to tell me you don't speak in tongues? No. Well, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. And therein lies the largest mistake. You don't have the Holy Spirit. He has you. And when he has you, it's not for tongues. Get that out of your mind. I am not saying you should not speak. I am not saying there is not a spiritual revelation to it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying stop using it for proof. Don't use it for proof. I went down to the place in Washington where they make our money. And I walked through, and I mean, my mouth was salivating as I watched them. They were making 50s that day, and they were making sheets of 50s. And, oh, Lord, I was watching them make those 50s. And then they brought the 50s out off the line, and they cut the 50s into pocket sizes. And I wanted to be like Philip and be translated from that ledge and into the money room. And the tour guide said something when we reached the end. I'm still thinking of street ways to get that money. And this is what she said. She said, "I know all of you saw the money." She said, "Wouldn't it be great to have your hands on it?" And most of them didn't say anything, but I said, "Yes, I got a church to build." And she said, "But if you got your hands on it, it wouldn't do you any good because it doesn't have the Federal Reserve stamp." All of a sudden, the thrill to have it was gone. In other words, without the stamp, it's just paper. I watched them print it, cut it, and stack it. But you can't watch them stamp it. Without what I'm going to show you, you can go through all the tongues and all the physical things, but that doesn't mean that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. All that means is you've gone through the church process. The church has printed you. The church has minted you, but they can't stamp you. And notice, in all the 50 states, there are only 7 reserve banks. That's all. That means it's rare. When the Holy Spirit comes, he stamps you with something, and it's rare. Because the devil can't stamp you with this, so he creates the works. Why? He knows we are work-oriented, so he gives us works. And most of us are comfortable with works. But Paul says, but the fruit, the result, the evidence of the Spirit is love. That's it. Love. That's it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Put a period there.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
06216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Every time you say that name, something happens on the inside. Depression goes, fear dissipates, joy bells begin to ring, power flows through you. Every time you say that name.
Come and experience a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God at a 3-night revival with Bishop Eric Lambert of Bethel Deliverance International Church, all being held on Wednesday, July 27th through Friday, July 29th. Come to be revived, empowered, and activated to impact the world with the love and the power of God. Services begin 7:30 p.m. with dynamic praise and worship, followed by a powerful message from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. Prayer will be held prior to each service at 6:30 p.m. nightly. Don't miss this special time to continue to seek the face of the Lord. We are having revival July 27th through July 29th. Be there.